Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Honestly, this series and this message today, as we're talking about changing your world, and really specifically the message, I'm fired up about it because this message I'm going to give you, I think it's going to be a message that you've never heard before, specifically the text we're going to look at. But not only that, I've been holding this one for months, and God said today is the day to unleash it and give it to you. So hopefully that perked a little bit of your attention, got your head up a little bit. But as we start this series, Change the World, turn with me to Romans chapter 16. Verses 3 through 5. Now, for those that are brand new, we encourage church participation, okay? We think church is not a spectator sport, all right? And so you amen me if something hits you in your spirit, like you praise God during the message, just like you were during the worship set. But we're going to have some fun today, and I think I got some good practical stuff for you from God's Word. But Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5. Now, as some are turning there, just to give you some quick context about the passage, and we'll hit a couple other places, by the way, but this is going to be our main text. But to give you some quick context, Romans, the book of Romans, the first 15 chapters, all the chapters preceding chapter 16, they are filled with incredibly deep theology, like incredible stuff. Sometimes it's so good you don't even get it all the way, but you just know it was good, right? It's just really, really good. And there's some epic verses in there that some of you have tattooed on your body. Others of you got hanging in a nice picture frame in your home. Like, there's incredible stuff the first 15 chapters, but then you get to chapter 16, our main text today, and this is where it gets to the end credits of the book of Romans. Like, this is where the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans, this is where he gives like his shout outs and his call outs to all the different people that have impacted his life, that have impacted what's happening in that area. And so what has taken place throughout history is a lot of people skip chapter 16. They're like, I got everything I need to get out of Romans, and they kind of move on to the next thing. And I get it, because what happens when we watch a show on Netflix or we watch a movie at the movie theater? When the end credits come up, nobody stays unless it's a Marvel movie, right? Like we just get on going. We try to beat the rush out the door. So I get why you'd have a tendency to skip chapter 16. But can I tell you something today? There's actually gold in chapter 16. There's some incredible stuff in the middle of the shout-outs that I think are going to help you. And again, this series and today's message is going to be very practical. Like, if you like to go to church services and hear messages that are just like confusing and you don't know how to live it out, you won't hate this message. But for most of us, where you want to get some tools that you can use Monday, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, you're going to love this message, okay? So Romans chapter 16, verses 3 through 5. And one of the shout outs we're going to read here in just a moment is to this power couple in the Bible, Priscilla and Aquila. I call them the Illas, okay? Like, just awesome. Priscilla, the girl, and Aquila, the guy, they are married, and they are an incredible couple that most people don't even know about. In fact, many of you, that's the first time you even heard those names before, but we're going to learn from them in the shout-out and from their lives and, of course, from the holy text. So Romans chapter 16, that was a lot of build-up for like three verses, but here's what it says. Verse 3. NIV all day, by the way, if you're curious. New International Version, that's the translation we'll be in. Here's what it says. Paul, giving shout-outs, greet Priscilla and Aquila. They're so cute, even their names rhyme, right? Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me, not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for them. Verse 5, greet also the church that meets at their house. That's enough. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you that even three verses from the end credits of Romans can change our lives. And I pray, God, that we would be inspired and encouraged today by Priscilla and Aquila, the hidden heroes in the New Testament that you use to change the world for you. And I pray for every single person, the first timer, those that are here almost every single week, those that are new to faith in Jesus, those that have no faith yet in Jesus, and those that have been walking with Jesus for decades. I pray for all of us that we would learn something fresh and something new, that you would take one thing, Holy Spirit, and use it to connect all the dots in our lives, that you would use it to change us from the inside out, and that we would be better because of what we learn and what we've read from your holy word. God, we love you, and we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And if you believe it with me in faith, would you say amen? Amen. All right, got some people with me. Now, as we study this passage in the lives of Priscilla and Aquila and how they changed the world, I'm going to give you a couple of powerful takeaways from the text, but first I got to give you kind of a disclaimer, a warning, because here's what I know we'd be tempted to have happen today, and not just today, but every day. But what the temptation is that when we read about couples or people in the Bible, whether New Testament or Old Testament, well, there's this tendency, because there's so much space and time between us living now in 2021 and the original occurrences, there's a temptation, a tendency to view characters in the Bible that we read about as mythical figures. Like, can we just be honest about that? Like, you hear about Noah and Moses, the Apostle Paul, this couple right here, and it's easy to kind of view them as like these supernatural superheroes that God just for whatever reason decided that they're going to have something special on their life. And so it's easy to remove ourselves from the text and say, you know what, that's good for the illas, but what about me? There's a temptation to do that with Scripture. But can I encourage you today that when you look at Priscilla and Aquila, they were normal people like me and like you. They were not superheroes of the faith. They were actual people that God used in a special way. Why are you telling me this, Pastor? Because I want to try my best throughout this message in this series to get rid of all the excuses that we can easily make, right? Well, that's great for them, but my life's a little different. I'm telling you, if you're normal, which hopefully you are, if you're normal, you can relate to Priscilla and Aquila just like I can. In fact, would you write it down this way? Not a slide for it, but this is how I wrote it down. Priscilla and Aquila, they were imperfect people following a perfect God, and they changed the world. I want to say that again, and remember, I hope you won't just spectate. I hope you help me preach this message. They were imperfect people following a perfect God, and they changed the world. And so for you and I, that is incredible news. If you've ever felt like me that, you know what, you got skipped over when it came to like giving out all the gifts, or if you ever felt like, oh, it would have been better to come from a different background, or maybe even a family, like your family's a little bit crazy and holidays are coming up and you're already getting nervous, right, about the gatherings and what's going to be said and what's going to happen around the dinner table. If you ever thought that before, I want to encourage you that in every single person's life, God wants to work and do incredible things. And so I'll say it to you this way. If you're imperfect, that's perfect. Because God loves to use flawed people like you and me. And so we're going to learn a couple of things from the illas in today's message. And I think, again, it's going to be real practical, real helpful. Here's the first thing if you're taking notes in church, and that's a good idea. Bonus points, right? Gold stars, like you should take notes in church. Number one is this. This is what we learn from their lives in the text. That if you want to make a difference for Jesus, number one, start with family. Start with family. Like, I hope you'll write that down. Start with family. That's where you begin when you want to change the world. You start with family. Now, there's several layers to this. So we're not going to quickly move on to the next one, all right? We're going to break this down together. There's several layers to this point. The first is this. This couple, Priscilla and Aquila, they are mentioned around 7 times or so in the Bible, in the New Testament. And every time they are mentioned together. Like, you will never find Priscilla talked about in Scripture without Aquila right there next to her. You will never find Aquila, the man in the relationship, talked about without his bride, Priscilla, right there with them. They are always mentioned together, and that's significant. Why, Pastor? Here's why. This is a clear indicator. All Bible scholars agree that they serve together in ministry. They serve together. It wasn't like Priscilla had her own calling and then Aquila had his. No. They served together. They did ministry together. They did life together. They were together as a married couple. I got a hard time thinking that, you know, Aquila was always, you know what, I'm going to go hang out with the boys and just, you know, I need some time. No, they love spending time together. They were always talked about together. And this is something my wife and our kids were at first service, and this is something it's like really important to us too, that we believe that here when it comes to this church and this city and in our area, that we're called, my wife Isabel and I, we're called together to ministry. We're called together to pastoring. Here's what I mean by that. It's not like God called me to Houston and I just brought her like kicking and screaming with me. Right? It's not like, oh, you better go to services and you better do. No. We believe it's a packaged deal. Any married couples in the house agree with me? We believe it's not just you got your thing and I got mine. No. We are in this together. We are better together. In fact, it's mutually beneficial that we have that mindset when it comes to the church and us. Here's what I mean. Obviously, that benefits the church, that it's not just me serving here, but my wife, but it also benefits us. We've been married for getting close to 10 years, and I know some of you have been married longer than that, but still, for us, what's incredible about our relationship is that some of the best times in our lives is when we were serving together in the church. Like, that's some of the best times. In fact, we love talking church and dreaming church and praying for you. And what's so cool about our relationship is we're talking about stuff, praying about stuff before we've even talked to the elders about it or the staff or you. Like, even when it's just like a baby dream. And so some of our best moments, I'm telling you, is when we get to serve together. In fact, those of you that have been around for a little while, you know every once in a while I can like get Isabel up here to speak on the platform with me when we talk about relationships and things. And she brings a different insight, obviously a different perspective. She shares embarrassing stories about me as well, you know, that kind of deal. And I love it. And so I just so you know, I'm working on your behalf to get her back up with me here pretty soon. But like, it's a package deal for us. We believe God has a unique calling on both of our lives that is shared, and so we see that with Priscilla and Aquila. Now, for us, we also have three kids. We call it starting five, right? Like, we could have the starting five for the Houston Rockets. How many of y'all know they need some help? And so, like, we could help them out. Probably not, but anyways. And so we got an 8-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. So here's what we believe about our marriage and our family. Not only is the vision just Isabel and myself, the vision didn't change when we had kids. It actually got bigger. And if you got kids, God wants you to see your family this way. It doesn't matter how old they are. We believe now there's a unique calling from God on our family. And that even though our kids aren't even teenagers yet, that God wants to work in and through their lives to change people's lives for Jesus. Can I get a witness from somebody? We believe like it's a family affair. And so I know my kids aren't perfect. They picked up all my flaws, you know, like they didn't get any of Isabel's because she didn't have any, but they got all my flaws. And so I get it. They're not perfect. Neither are your kids, by the way. But still, I love seeing my kids, imperfect people, serving a perfect God. I love seeing my kids tithe. Man, they tithe. And I know anytime you say tithe, people start to roll their eyes in church. I'm talking about my kids. I'm not talking about you, okay? But our kids tithe. And anybody that gives one penny to the church in a year's period of time, you're going to get a letter, quarterly letters, updates on your giving from our business office. That's how we do it here, so you know. And so my kids, they get those letters. And in a whole year's period of time, because of their ages, they give like $5 to the church, $10. Why? Because it's a penny at a time. It's a nickel at a time. And so my kids, even at a young age, like, they're investing financially, that they're filling up their offering things for Loyal to the Future. And I just think that's so important. It's not just me dragging everybody. Like, no, we're in this together. And that's what the word talks about. One of the most powerful moments as a parent is, and again, my kids aren't perfect, but anytime they'll pray for somebody who is sick. I love seeing that. Can I encourage parents? I don't care how old your kids are. If they can speak, have them take turns praying over people in your family. My kids will lay hands on me and my wife if we're under the weather or feeling sick. There's times where something's going on at school. Our oldest is in third grade, Luke, and we'll pray for his teacher together. Like, I'm telling you, there's something powerful about that. And so Priscilla and Aquila, the Bible says, because they're always mentioned together, the Bible shows us that they served God together. They had a vision for their marriage. In fact, this is not a marriage sermon or a marriage series, but we got a lot of married people in this church. So let me encourage you with one more thought. You need a mission for Jesus that's on your marriage that you share together, like you do. In fact, most people will sit down when they start a business and they get a vision or a mission statement for their business. Even parents will do this when they're raising their kids, but I don't know too many people that have a vision or a mission that's upon their marriage. But I'm telling you, the best part of our marriage, my wife and I, is that we've got a shared common mission for Jesus. We believe that our marriage can impact people's lives for eternity as God works in us and through us. So get a vision for God working in and through your marriage. So that's the first layer. Start with family. The second layer, just taking this to another level for those that aren't married or you're single again, the second layer is this, that you, as you operate and live for God, as you're on this journey with Jesus, God wants you also to join a spiritual family. Now, some of you are thinking, in fact, this is the excuse that's popping up. Like, well, that's great for you, Pastor. You know, your spouse loves Jesus, but mine doesn't. Or that's great for you, Pastor, you're married, I'm not, or I was, and life happened, and all this kind of stuff, and so I get it. But what I'm trying to get across today is family, and I hope you'll amen me on this one. I hope somebody will help me preach this message, but here's what I'm trying to say about family. It's not just biological, it's also spiritual. Okay, thank you very much. Somebody, I'm trying to set y'all up, help me out. But like, it's not just biological. In fact, back in Bible days, you know, and this was even in the church for a while, what did people used to do? They used to call each other brother so-and-so. Anybody remember that time? That's sister so-and-so. That's brother so-and-so. And the heart behind it was that we're a spiritual family, that we're in this together. And so maybe you're not married, maybe you don't have kids. I'm telling you, you can still find spiritual family, and Priscilla and Aquila found spiritual family. The Bible talks about their friendship with the Apostle Paul. In fact, if you still got the Bible with you, go one book before Romans to Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Here's what we find out about their spiritual family. If you don't have time to turn there, if you're not quick, just write down the reference if you'd like. But here's what it says. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Remember, they're always mentioned together. Because Claudius, that was the Caesar of the day, the emperor of the day, had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Now, I hope you caught some of the big items there. I know we read it quickly, but it's so important, so powerful. The Bible tells us here that Priscilla and Aquila, they relocated from Italy, not because they got tired of gelato. They relocated from Italy, not because they're like, hey, let's just start something new. Oh, there's better housing options there. The taxes are lower, you know. No. The Bible says, we just read it, they were kicked out of their home and kicked out of their city because of them being, at least Aquila, Jewish. That is racism at the highest level. Racism is straight up of the devil, always, all the time, and unfortunately, it's been happening for a long time. And so because of that heritage being Jewish, they were forced to leave. They had to go, and God used that, hear me loud and clear, God used that to connect them to a spiritual family with the Apostle Paul. And really, I think that will preach right there, because some of you, God is trying to get you to a different place because he's got some new people for you to meet. God's trying, and you see it as an eviction. You see it as something that's forced, but the sovereignty of God, God knows he's got to get you out of a situation. He's got to get you out of that job. He's got to get you to a new area, a new territory, because he's got some new people for you to meet. And if that's your word, you grab a hold of it, because it's not for everybody, but I believe in faith it's for somebody, that you got to look at your relocation, you got to look at your eviction differently, that sometimes God works things in such a way that he's got to get us to a new perspective, a new situation, because he's got some new people for us to partner with. And if not them leaving, being forced to leave, they meet the Apostle Paul. And a friendship is breathed out of that, and they find spiritual family. And I don't know if you caught this in Acts, but they strike up a friendship in such a way, like they are not just acquaintances. And eventually the Apostle Paul, a lot of people don't know this, he ends up crashing with them. Like, for real, that's what we read. Like, Paul gets the spare bedroom. They're like, hey, we got an open room. You want to hang out with us for a little bit? You want to live with us for a little bit? And so not only did they bunk together, Priscilla and Aquila and the Apostle Paul, for a while, but they worked together. So not only living together, not only ministry together, what does it say? They actually shared business together. They were doing life together. And through it all, they became a spiritual family helping each other. In church, whether you believe it or not, this is what God wants for you. That you would find a spiritual family. Well, I don't have any family in Houston, Pastor. Well, all my family's in a different state or on another continent, or there's issues and we're mad at each other. I'm telling you, no matter whether it's biological or not, you can find spiritual family, people that love Jesus and love you, that you not only can do life together, but you can do ministry together, and that's what God has for you and me. In fact, just like fellowshipping and breaking bread together and having fun together, that's what it's all about. Iron sharpening iron. And so when God looks at you, you are not meant to do this thing solo, friend. God's got a family, a spiritual family for you to join with. And I know it sounds self-serving, but I'd love for it to be Christ Covenant. But it didn't have to be Christ Covenant, but it needs to be somewhere that not only you just show up every once in a while, but you say, you know what, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to serve with these people. I'm going to get to know people. In fact, the best way that you can get to know people and for it to be the least amount of awkward is for you to serve with someone else. And I know it sounds self-serving. Yes, it helps the church, but it will help you. In fact, I didn't say it's first service. I'm saying it now. I'm getting way off script with the lights going out, okay? So just watch out. Buckle up. But I didn't say it's first service. I'm going to save it now. I feel led to. Go up. I did not prep them. Go up to any volunteer in our church, and we got a lot of them serving in this room, serving in classrooms, people even serving during the week on Wednesday nights. Go up to any one of them and ask them what their experience has been serving in God's house. Here's what they're not going to say. They're not going to say it was easy, because it's not easy. It's difficult. It's challenging. It takes sacrifice. But here's what they will say. It's so worth it. It's so worth it. And not only that, but most of their close friendships, guess what? Just so happen to be born out of them serving with those people in a specific area of ministry. Here's the second point, second takeaway from the text, from the Illas, Priscilla and Aquila, making a huge difference for Jesus, changing the world for Jesus. Number two, they lived on mission. They lived on mission. Would you write that down? They lived on mission. Now, there's some debate among Bible scholars, for those that like to go a little deeper in the text. There's some debate on how they got saved. Some people think that it was the Apostle Paul that led them to Jesus, but honestly, we don't know. Maybe that happened. In fact, there's some people that think that the Apostle Paul met Aquila in the Jewish temple at the synagogue. Again, maybe it happened, but we don't know. But either way, their lives were changed by Jesus. And so after they were changed by Jesus, they did whatever they could to sell out their lives for the gospel and to tell other people about Jesus. So here's how I know if God has really changed your life: you can't shut up about Jesus. It's not a temperament. It's not a personal preference. I'm not saying in some awkward way where you stand on boxes at street corners and you make everybody feel like they're so just horrible. I'm not talking about weird stuff. What I am talking about in a most authentic way that you can, you're telling anybody and everybody about Jesus. Why? Because you have been given the cure to your sin, and why would you ever want to keep that cure to yourself? And so you're telling everybody. You're inviting people to church. You're being salt and light in your neighborhood. You live on mission. And Priscilla and Aquila, in every season of life, in every circumstance, they lived on mission for Jesus. And by the way, I've got to say this. Because again, I'm trying to come against excuses that are popping up in your heart and mind. By the way, Priscilla and Aquila living on mission, they were not pastors. Like, you need to receive that soul level. They were not pastors. In fact, every time they're mentioned, you'll never find, like, Elder Aquila or, you know, or Deaconess. I don't know if that's the female version, you know, of Deacon, but Deaconess Priscilla, you know, Bishop S, you know, you'll never find that. They are never given a church title, and that is so important. Because what are people tempted to say and do in 2021? I'm going to leave that ministry stuff up to people like you, Pastor. I'm going to leave that ministry stuff up to the professional pastors. And can I tell you, with all sincerity before God and with as much respect as I can muster, if you think that, that is simply a cop-out. It is. Because there is nowhere in Scripture cover to cover where God says his ministry is limited to unique people. Nowhere. Read the Bible if you've never read it before. You won't find it. In fact, the opposite is said, especially in the New Testament. Y'all remember, those of you that were here a few weeks ago, what I do? I ordained y'all as pastors. Like I did. It was like 30 seconds, but it was awesome. You were all pastors after that. And if I got to add that to the end of every service, you better believe I will. Because I need you to see differently. I believe God wants you to see differently. That you are all ministers. If pastor throws you off, you're a minister. You are a minister of the good news, the gospel. And so when Jesus has changed your life, you're like Priscilla and Aquila. You can't help but not tell people about Jesus. You can't help but use what you have to serve God and to run after God. And here's what's so amazing. And we find this out in more detail in 1 Corinthians 16. I'm not going to read that. You can write it down. 1 Corinthians 16. But we find out that Priscilla and Aquila, not pastors, just people in the church, that they actually, in two different cities, in Rome and Corinth, they had church in their home. Literally. They looked up to God. This is so awesome. And they said, God, we've made a little money from our trade, tent making, and we're going to use our home to house the church. And so in two different seasons of life, in two different cities, two different areas, they had a church in their home. You can't get more committed than that, friend. People tearing up your stuff. I got to tell you, I love y'all, but y'all are rough on our building. Like, for real, you can tell when y'all been here afterwards. But that's okay. We'd rather it be roughed up and knocked around. That lets us know there was actually people here, right? Like, that's a good thing. And so they had a church service in their home at two different areas. They said, God, use our resources. Use our money. Like, whatever you can use, whatever we have, it's yours. And so I wonder today, and this is bold, I know, it takes audacious faith, I know, but I wonder, have you said that to God? God, whatever I have, whatever I do, it's yours. Use it how you want to use it. I get it, it's bold. But Christian, hear me loud and clear, that's your calling. That's the way that God has called you to live. That whatever you do, whatever you have, it's on the table for God to use. So I'm going to be calling all y'all this week. Hey, can we use your house? No, I'm just kidding. But like you got to give it up to God. You're to use it for God's glory. Priscilla and Aquila, they realized that God wanted to work in them, but also through them to make a difference. You got to have this mindset. In fact, I'm running out of time here, but in fact, here's my heart for you. My heart for you today in this message and throughout this short series, Change Your World, my heart for you is that you would begin to view Mondays differently. Y'all know we all hate Mondays, and that's the joke, and there's memes and GIFs or GIFs, depending on what side of the argument you know you're on. But like, I get it. In fact, this is true. We almost called this series, instead of Change Your World, we almost called it Made for Mondays. But we honestly, like, I didn't think you would show up if we called it that. You're like, I'm out on Monday. So we didn't call it that. But we almost did. But my heart for you and God's heart for you is, yes, serve in the church. Priscilla and Aquila did that. These hidden heroes that changed the world for Jesus. Yes, serve in the church, but it's so much more than that. So I'm hoping, and I believe God wants us to view Mondays differently. I'll say it to you this way, and this is going to resonate with somebody. But God may not ever call you to Africa, but he has absolutely called you to your neighborhood. And you can disagree with me, but you're wrong. He has. It's your mission field. Maybe God won't call you to Europe, but he has absolutely called you to your crazy family. And my family's crazy too, okay? But like, why'd you amen me on that? It's like, yeah, I love you, man. Thank you. He's just trying to help me out. But like, he has. God's called you to your family. He may not call you to Antarctica, and I hope he doesn't, right? Be careful what you ask for. Pray for it, by the way. I think God's got a sense of humor sometimes with that. I'll never do this, or I'll never go there. I never thought I'd be a pastor, and here I am. But like, he may never call you to Antarctica, but he has absolutely called you to your school, to your job. You got to view Mondays differently, church, Christian. I'm talking to Christians. You got to start living on mission. You're a minister. If you will give yourself to God to work in you and through you, you will change the world. But guess what? It starts with changing your world. You had the family you have for a reason. You got the neighbors you have for a reason. You're in the apartment complex you are in for a reason. You're at the school, the job. There's a purpose. And Priscilla and Aquila, they understood this. They understood that God wanted to work in them and through them. And so I'm just praying that just 10 of you and all these people in the room, all the people watching online, if we got that back up. Like I'm 1 in 10. Would 10 of you say to God, God, whatever I have, whatever I do, you can use it for your glory. I know not everyone will say yes, but can we have 10 that would say, God, I'm selling out. That I got a local business, or I'm hourly, or I'm in school, or I'm stay at home. That God, you can use it for your glory. I realize there's a purpose to my life. I realize that I'm not just here just to suck air and die one day, but there's a mission on my life. There's a calling on my life. Why are you so stirred up about this, Pastor? Because this is the life you are destined to live. It's in you. It's been imprinted on your DNA by God. I want you to live the life God's called you to live, and that's to make a difference in your world, the people around you. You got to view your Mondays differently. I'm almost done. We're late on time, but let's blame it on the blackout. All right, here we go. To the stay-at-home parents, I want you to view Mondays differently. Your children are your congregation. They are. They're your congregation. We got stay-at-home parent. My wife's a stay-at-home parent. Like homemaker. Like your children, your spouse. Like that's your congregation. It's up to you to disciple them. In fact, how many of y'all know this is true? You as a parent, you are to be the hands and feet of Jesus to your kids. And the way they view you and your relationship with Jesus will directly affect their relationship with Jesus one day. And we got a whole generation of nuns, not N-U-N-S, N-O-N-E-S, get a whole generation of nuns, a classification that doesn't know what they believe. And a lot of it comes down to us, my generation, saying, you know what? I'm not living in such a way that matches my Sunday. And because they saw two different versions of their parents or their grandparents, as they saw them profess faith on a Sunday and live completely different Monday through Saturday, they have said, you know what? I don't know what to believe in. Responsibilities on us, stay-at-home parent, your children, your home, it's your congregation. It's your responsibility to disciple. To the hourly worker, you're no longer just punching a clock. You're no longer working for a paycheck only. Every other employee and every customer, be open to Jesus working in and through you to impact their life. Be a light even to your boss. My boss is crazy. Be a light to your boss. If you know scripture, you know this. In fact, it's talked about even in Romans, the book we've been in mainly today. But if you know scripture, you know that how you handle your earthly authorities reflects on how you view your heavenly authority, the ultimate authority. And specifically, when they get on your nerves and they ask you to do things, I'm not talking about unethical, but you're like, I know a better way, but you still go with their way with a good attitude. It reflects on how you view God, the ultimate authority. To the business owner, Priscilla and Aquila, it was a local business. It wasn't regional. It wasn't, no. It was local. To the business owner, begin to pray, how can you best honor Jesus with your business? How can you best honor Jesus with your money? How can you treat your employees in such a way that brings glory to God? The Holy Spirit will connect the dots for you. I'm just wondering, would you ask God that question? Would you have that faith, that boldness? To the student, you're not just after grades anymore. No. You're on mission from this day forward. You're in a preparation season to launch out one day to fulfill the unique calling of God upon your life. Right where you are, God has called you to make a difference. If not you, who? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm just preaching God's word as faithfully as I know how to. There's no excuse good enough. There's no season where we should retreat. No. In every season, in every circumstance, if we'll view it properly in light of eternity, if we'll be open and available to God, God will use us. God will use us. He's not looking for perfect people. He's the perfect one. If you're imperfect, that's perfect. God wants to use you. Not just on a Sunday morning, Monday, Saturday. It's in you. God's given you unique giftings, unique callings. I'm hoping and I'm praying that at least 10 of you will say, you know what, I'm going to live on mission. Not for myself. Not to just make more money so we can have a bigger house and more cars. But we're going to live on mission and allow God to use what we have and even our job that God can use it. Can we just be honest? If God can use tent makers to change the world, I think he can use us. I know he can use us. Would you bow your heads with me? Jesus, I pray right now. I pray, God, that your word would just rest on every heart. I know we're past time here, but I just pray, God, that you would encourage your people, that they are called, just like Priscilla and Aquila and the Apostle Paul, they're called to start with family, to join a spiritual family. Even if every person they are close with, and even if their family is in other states, right where they are, they can find a spiritual family, people to do life together and have fun together and minister together. I pray for the single person right now, maybe even single again, that you feel just so lonely. I'm telling you, there's spiritual family. Family is so much more than biological. You can find it here. Imperfect people following a perfect God, and we're changing the world. But it starts with our world. It starts with our families, our city. I pray, God, for those of us that are new to the faith and also for those of us that have been walking with you for a while, I pray, God, that we would live on mission. That everything we have, we'd be bold enough to say, God, use it how you want to use it. We're changing your pocket, God. Spend us how you want to spend us. I pray, God, we would look for open doors and opportunities Monday through Saturday. I pray, God, that we would get plugged in on Sunday mornings if we're not already. I pray, God, we would use the gifts you've given us. It's not just up to the professionals, God. All of us are ministers. And I pray lastly for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you. I pray today would be their day of salvation. Jesus, you could care less about religion. You want a relationship with us. And as we talked about earlier during Holy Communion, we're sinners in need of a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. And so you came on a rescue mission. And you died on the cross in our place. You gave your life. You rose from the dead 3 days later so we could be forgiven of our sin, but we need to choose you. I said this a lot in our last series on end times that we just finished up, but it's still true in this one. To not choose is to choose. So if you're here today and you're far from God, I hope and I pray you'll choose him. He loves you, friend. He's not mad at you. He loves you. Even in your sin, even in the mess that you may feel like it's just all around you, he loves you. The Bible says this, that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So you come to Jesus just as you are, and you surrender your life, and he'll heal you, he'll forgive you, he'll set you free. We've been talking a lot about Romans. Keep your eyes closed if you're able to. We're talking a lot about Romans, and in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, God's word, and I'm so thankful for it. It's so helpful, even in 2021. It's so timeless. But God's word tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, really gives us a blueprint of how you give your life to Jesus, how you're saved. Makes it real simple. It says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so it's confession and belief. It's not by your works, it's by his grace. And so you can confess right now. In fact, I'll coach you on some things you can whisper to him. Jesus, we confess that you are Lord. We confess that you are God. We confess that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And Jesus, we believe. It's important you put your belief in him. We believe, Jesus, that you are who you say you are. We believe that you died on the cross, that 3 days later you rose from the grave. We believe you have the power to save us and forgive us of all our sin. And the most important question you can ask him, and he's going to answer it, yes, is, Lord, would you please forgive me of my sin? And you can ask him that. You can whisper to him right now, and he's going to answer yes. You can know that you know that you know. Lord, would you please forgive us of our sin? Make us new, clean us up from the inside out. Restore a right relationship between us and you. God, thank you for those that are making that confession, that are putting their belief in you. Thank you that you never let us down. Thank you that you have the power to save. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at ChristCov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at ChristCovHouston.